everybody. This is a special edition of the podcast. So I'm recording this podcast. Sorry if there's kind of weird noises, but I'm recording this podcast all the way from Sri Lanka. I'm here with a really good friend of mine. Her name is Nia, and I took the liberty of interviewing her because she's a specialist on the topic. So Nia and I met a few years ago. We studied together, and well, we decided to meet up in Sri Lanka to have this really good trip together. And we've had an amazing time. We saw the tea region in the center of the country. And then we went south. We went to Yala, to a national park. We did a kind of a safari tourism. And yeah, we'll tell you a little bit more about that. But first of all, I want to introduce Nia. So hello, Nia. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me.
No, thank you for being here and just letting us know more about your experience. So Nia, tell us a little bit more about you. Who are you?
So as you said, we studied together back in Brighton, and I've been working as a sustainability manager for the last about 3 years for a destination management company in Asia, which is basically a travel agency. I was in Thailand for just over 2 years, and now I just relocated to Vietnam, and
Oh, it's amazing. Well, we have another topic following up after this podcast, but I'll let you know that about that afterwards. Sonia, we've had this conversation plenty of times because it's not like I'm here with Nia right now, but I visited her in Thailand when she was living there, and we had this recurring topic over and over, especially in Asia, where elephant tourism is such a hot topic. Like everyone wants to see an elephant in Asia. Some of them want to experience it in a different way, you know, like ride them or just pet them. So I wanted to ask you what's your experience in elephant tourism? What's going on there in Asia?
Yes, as you mentioned, it's like a big topic on the bucket list of everyone coming to Asia, want to see an elephant in one or another way. What we did here in Sri Lanka was a bit different. We went to the national park, and for me it was the very first time to actually see a wild elephant, not a captive one. So there is a big difference. In Asia, elephants can be found all around. I have a lot of experience in Thailand, so I'm going to speak about the situation in Thailand just because I've been working with this topic quite a bit in the last few years. So for example, in Thailand you have less than 2,000 elephants in the wild, so spotting them in the wild is relatively difficult. You have a few national parks where you can spot them, where you do a safari. What we did here in Sri Lanka, you get in a car and you drive around in the national park, you try to spot them. But then you also have captive elephants, so it's elephants in an elephant camp where you have different entertainment or activities with them. So you can either ride them, you have elephant shows, you can bathe the elephants, you can feed the elephants, you can just observe the elephants, you can walk with the elephants. Lots of different programs, lots of different kind of tourism activities, really. It's been a big trend from all the different markets. So if it's European, Northern American, or the Asian market, everyone is interested in elephants and wants to experience them in one way or the other.
Okay, but I don't know. When I was traveling in Asia a few years ago, I went to a lot of blogs and websites, and there's still a lot of people who want to like ride them, and obviously there's an issue. I mean, apart from the obvious. There's a serious change in the media of how you should experience elephants, you know, like maybe not ride them, maybe just walk next to them. Or do you think that has changed in the way people experience elephants in Asia?
Absolutely, it has changed a lot. There's a lot of media coverage from the tourism perspective, I can say. So in my company, we work with travel agencies overseas, so it's a business-to-business company. And we get a lot of European, especially European agents. They either don't want to have anything to do with elephants anymore because it's quite a sensitive issue, it's quite ethical, like difficult in ethics. And a lot of agents are asking us, okay, what kind of elephant camps, what kind of elephant programs do you offer to our clients, basically? Mm-hmm. There's at the same time, there's a huge change in the whole backpacker area, like all the young backpackers coming to Asia, all the individual travelers traveling by themselves, they're asking different questions, and they have this through media, they have this changed images of elephant tourism, so they are looking for new experiences, different experience, where animal welfare plays a bigger role than before.
What do you think was the change in media? Was it, you know, like, was it the media changing the perception of experiencing elephants, or it was actually the tourism started to change the way they experience elephants, and then the media went like, oh, this is actually a topic that we have to discuss?
I think it's been travelers now become more and more aware about any sustainability questions. I have the feeling they're concerned about their environmental impact, they're concerned about their social impact on the destinations they visit, they want to have a more experience with the host communities, all these things. And since elephant tourism is a big issue and animal welfare in general becomes a bigger issue nowadays in our society, I think that's how it all started. And then you have a lot of animal welfare organizations, especially European ones or international ones even, they started to be really concerned, and they started to focus on the topic and have campaigns dealing with this topic and bringing up this issue within the tourism industry.
Okay. So for example, okay, what's going on with elephant, like what changed? Because obviously there was a lot of elephant riding, I guess, but then I remember from the media, especially like the way they train the elephants, for example, it's pretty
horrific. So I think the problem is that the idea of elephants have to be trained to become submissive so you can ride them, mm-hmm. right? In the past, it's quite a sensitive topic, it's quite difficult, and it's not as black and white as it is portrayed in the media. So in the past, it was the case that elephants got poached in Asia, elephants got poached from the wild. That means, poaching in that sense means most of the time the mother elephant was killed and then the baby elephant was taken from the mother and being trained, because it was easier to train baby elephants, obviously. In that whole situation, an elephant being poached from the wild, they had to be it's called breaking the spirit. So that means it has to be made submissive, mm-hmm. right? And in generally, it was done by confining the elephant in a small space, beating it, poking it, making lots of loud noises around the elephant, using burning sticks to burn it, filling water in its trunk. It couldn't move at all. It was like that for days. It peed itself, and it was horrible, horrible ceremony and mistreatment, exactly. Mm-hmm. That said, at the same time, I mean, looking back in history, like, elephants been used for centuries for the logging industry, right? Mm-hmm. So they've been living with families within the communities for centuries and centuries. In Thailand, a lot of families, they own the elephants. So it's actually, you have your house, and then next to your house, you have a shed where you have your elephants, right? And in Thailand, it's actually, the elephant is the holy elephant, it's the holy animal of the country, yeah? So people do actually appreciate the elephant, and it's a sacred animal, mm-hmm. right? So it's not necessarily that, especially if it's a family seen as a family member, families would not necessarily treat their elephants really bad. Mm-hmm. Same, like, if the elephant's been in a family or in a community for centuries, and if a baby elephant grows up with humans around and with their mothers and aunties and all family members being used to humans,
there wouldn't be a need for that mistreatment.
For like the breaking the spirit ceremony where you really poach a wild elephant from the forest. So it's different, because I mean then elephants are never gonna be domesticated. Mm-hmm. So elephants are never going to be domesticated, because it is a wild, it's not like horses or dogs. It is a wild animal, and even though they've been living with humans for centuries, it's a different kind of
mm-hmm.
animal.
Yeah.
You know? And it's huge, and it can be very, very dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Now that you say that, I just remembered one of the... So 2 years ago, I was in Thailand when I saw you in Bangkok, and I went to an elephant camp. I think it was one of actually you recommended, and they were saying like these elephants actually do not belong to the camp. They're actually elephants that the families in the region can't sustain anymore, because either, you know, like they don't have any more money to give them the amount of food that an elephant needs to. You know, to eat every day, because they eat a lot of food every day. Or they were saying like a lot of families start to like let them like in the wild, because they couldn't take care of them anymore. And then the elephants started to obviously eat the crops from other neighbors, and that was a really, really that was a problem. So this camp, I think it was like just, oh, these elephants are actually not, they don't belong to us. They belong to the families. And we get this, you know, relationship where we take care of them. I don't know if the families pay the camp or help with the food or... But yeah, I just remember that. And it's important, because I think also for people who are interested in elephants, seeing elephants, they should know like, okay, where these elephants come from,
exactly.
Or are they for riding? I mean, riding is a very specific, complex topic, I think, no? But then again, yeah, did they have to break the spirit in this elephant or not, you know?
I think you just mentioned a very important point, is what also happened in the last few years, now it's banned, actually. People could not... So an elephant eats 250 kilograms per day, right? And
a lot of food.
You should provide different kinds of food, and not just fruits, but like different grass and different plants, and have a nice mix. So an elephant is very, very important, very, very expensive. And it used to be in the past that the families or the owners of the elephants, they actually went begging on the street. So that means the elephant is walking through the street, and you can imagine everyone who's been to Bangkok, it's just a chaos, it's horrible. So imagine an elephant walking on the hot street in the middle of the day, begging for food, basically, because that's what they did. Or they were used as photo props, where you could take a picture with the elephant and then you pay a little bit, so the mahout, the elephant owner or the elephant handler, can buy food for the elephant. That's been banned in Thailand now, so you can't go begging with your elephant anymore. But it's a very important point, because elephants are very expensive. They need a lot of space,
and
so they eat a lot, so that they have to move a lot as well. So it's not as easy as it's quite difficult to have an elephant. And to care for him properly.
What about not only the breaking the spirit ceremony, but we had like a couple of conversations about elephant tourism. We're talking also about the use of the hook, and especially on riding the elephants.
Right.
Is that a thing still, or?
That's the thing, like quite often in the media, it's portrayed as like, okay, if a mahout, so that's the elephant handler, is using the hook, it's a bad elephant camp. If the elephant is chained, it's a bad elephant camp. if there's a metal saddle on the elephant and you do a ride, it's a bad elephant camp. As I said before, it's not that black and white, yeah? So an elephant is huge. It weighs like a car, like 2.5 tons. It's massive. It can, elephant can be really, really fast as well. So they get scared easily, for example, right? So if you walk with the elephants, or if you ride the elephants, or if you have any kind of experience with the elephants, it is very important to guide the elephant. With any animal, you need some guidance, yeah? Mm-hmm. So for the dog, you have the leash. With the elephant, unfortunately, that's not enough because he can just drag you along, right? A hook does not necessarily mean to inflict pain. So if a mahout is trained properly and knows how to handle the hook, it is a guide. It is a guiding tool. So there's different pressure points. So for example, behind the ears, behind under the front legs, on the cheeks. So if you use the hook and apply a little bit of pressure, it does not necessarily harm the elephant, but the elephant gets guided. Yeah, so imagine the elephant is walking, a dog starts barking, elephant gets scared, starts running, and can easily kill people, can kill other elephants, can get killed himself by running into a car or whatever. So there is the need for some guidance, and that's quite easy actually to see. So if you see the guide, the mahout has a hook, but is using it in a certain way that it doesn't hurt the elephant, it is a necessary tool. You can easily spot, for example, if you see behind the ears or on the forehead or on the cheeks or anywhere really, if you see usually purple spots, that means, or you can see like little wounds or marks, okay, that's mistreatment. You don't have to inflict pain, you don't have to inflict any wounds on the elephant. You can use the hook in a different way. And then it's needed. Nowadays, it's the problem is because tourists start questioning, it's like, oh, but you're using the elephant hook, I don't trust it, it's a bad camp. Okay, so that means the mahouts and the camp owners, they decided they're not going to use any hooks anymore. But that's really, really dangerous because the mahouts, they need this guiding tool. Mm-hmm. So what they started doing now in a few camps, that, for example, they have nails, metal nails hidden in their hands or in the pockets, or they have sticks somewhere or knives even somewhere hidden in the bushes because they need this tool, but then they can't show that these tools to the tourists, because then the tourists would be like, oh no, I'm not going to visit this camp because they're using guiding tools, basically. So it's quite, I think it's more important to encourage camps and mahouts and camp owners to have a proper management or guidelines on how to use these tools, like hooks, for example, than to just blame them for using anything.
Yeah,
same with like the chains, and that's what you mentioned before as well. An elephant eats a lot and walks a lot and has a lot of strength, so if you just let them roam around free, they're just going to wander off to the next farm, eat all the crops, which is a problem. Yeah, it's like it's a big problem. You see that with the wild elephants, they always come down to the farms, there's a big conflict between locals and the elephants. So yeah, a chain, again, if it's used properly, if there is enough space for the elephant to move around, have interaction with other elephants, if the elephant has access to water and food, it's not a big deal. It's not a big issue. And if he does have time and space to move around freely during his day, it's fine. A chain is not necessarily bad, but it's a necessary tool to manage the elephants.
So another topic that really, it's very interesting now that we're talking about animal welfare. A lot of this media that portrays the, you know, the people who guide the elephants, the mahouts, that's how you're calling them, they never really see the other side, right? If you're a person who's hired to guide an elephant is massive, and if you don't treat him correctly or you don't handle him correctly or her, I imagine you can pretty much just get crashed by an elephant. And people don't see the other side of it, like the mahout has to guide the elephant also to, you know, to not kill him in a way.
Yeah.
So I
absolutely. Yeah.
There's also another issue about human rights and labor rights, because if then camp owners are not letting the mahouts care or like having those handling tools, and then they expect them to guide the elephants for the tourists, but then if the elephant gets scared, or if the elephant gets, like, I don't know, goes off the beaten off the path, then the mahout is pretty much left with nothing to kind of guide them back into the path, or even, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, you're right. This is actually something disregarded completely by the media. Human rights are completely neglected. And this is a big, big thing, because in the past, the process was like this. A family owned the elephant. If the elephant had a baby, someone from the family was assigned to be the mahout of that baby elephant, and they grew up together. Quite often, the boys were quite young. It's a job just done by males. And they grew up together. They completely trust each other. They know each other. They sleep together. They bathe together. They feed the mahout feeds the elephant. Generally, they have a very, very good relationship.
Hmm.
But as you said, it's a very dangerous job. Nowadays, you don't get paid much. So yeah. It's a very, very low income. It's quite inconvenient because you can't have any holidays. You have to work 24/7, basically. You need to be with the elephant during nights. If he gets sick, you need to be there. You need to make sure that you have enough food, that you have enough land for the elephant to care for, all of these things. And if there's different systems in Thailand, so you have, and you mentioned that before, that the camps not necessarily own the elephants. So either the local communities, they own the elephant, they rent them out to the elephant camp. The elephant camp then is responsible to hiring mahouts.
Okay.
Or the mahout is actually the elephant owner. So mm-hmm. then he goes with his elephant to an elephant camp and
okay.
works for the camp.
Okay.
So there's different systems. Not necessarily, not that one is better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. If, yeah, so quite often a lot of Thai people don't want to do that job anymore. Yeah, they're moving to the city, doing different jobs with more money and less working hours, less stress, all of that. So nowadays, there's in a lot of camps, they're using Burmese migrant workers or Cambodian migrant workers or from Laos, which are paid even less. There's no health insurance. There's no social support of any kind. Generally, they live in the camp. With these migrant workers, it's quite often they don't grow up with the elephant.
Mm.
And it's a bit of an issue. They have no idea how to handle the elephant. If you grow up with the elephant knows you, you have a good relationship,
yeah,
it's easier to handle them. But if you're an 18-year-old boy coming from Burma and
yeah.
start working with the elephant, it can be quite difficult. So it happened in the past a lot that mahouts, well, it still happens a lot, that mahouts get trampled, get crushed by the elephants. It is a very dangerous job. At the same time, if a lot of times the mahouts get paid on commission. So that means if they do the ride, they get paid. If they don't do the ride, they don't get paid.
What?
So that means they do as many rides as possible, right?
Yeah.
To make as much money as possible. So that means they would ride the elephant during the hottest hour of the day. They would ride the male elephants, for example. The male elephants, they get into must. So then that means when they're ready to mate, they get super aggressive, really, really dangerous. You really need to keep them away from all the other elephants, from humans. You need to chain them, or you need to put them in an extra enclosure. Very, very difficult to handle. And if they are being used during the must time for riding, this is when the accidents happen. So this is when you get tourists or mahouts killed, which you had last year, I think. There was a British tourist in Koh Samui who got killed by the elephant. So it happens. It is a wild animal. So, yeah, there's lots of problems going on with the human rights. And then that also affects, obviously, if now all Western tourists say, like, oh, we're not going to do the elephant ride, we're going to avoid all these camps, that means a loss of income for the elephant camp, which means the elephants and the mammoths are going to suffer because of the lack of income.
Of course. Talking about the labor, human rights, and people working in the elephant camps, I also bumped into a lot of volunteers that went to the elephant camps, and they were like actively, oh yeah, I mean, I don't exactly remember the how much money it was, but it was really expensive for like 3 days. You went there, you volunteered. From what I understood, you basically fed the elephants, you know, take care of like the, yeah, where they were keeping the elephants, and I think peeling like the fruits or and the grass and everything that the elephant ate. But do you think volunteers help in this industry of elephant tourism? Or is it just part another experience they're willing to consume, or is it actually a good thing to do? Or because they're not experienced, they're not mahouts, they're just gonna be there for 3 days, 4 days, maybe a week at the most. And I don't know to what level they actually engage with elephants. I met a couple of people who went there and they basically said, oh, it was beautiful because we got to see them the whole time, but we just kind of basically peeled or canes or stuff like that.
Yeah, I think generally that's the idea. I mean, in order to be properly working for the elephant camp, volunteers would never have the experience or the necessary knowledge. So I think a lot of them, it's another tourism product the camp starts selling, because they see the interest in especially young kids to, you know, to have a different experience and get a bit more involved. To be frank, I think it's just another way to make more money from the camps. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think you're gonna be peeling fruits and picking up poo, or planting trees, maybe planting food for the elephants. And I think it is a nice experience because you're gonna be spending more time with the elephants.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I think if you wanna volunteer for an elephant camp, do your research properly. There are different camps offering different possibilities or different programs, it's not necessarily that the most expensive camp is the best camp. It's very difficult to say, I think.
What would be like pinpoints or your criteria to know if it's a good camp? Like, what people ask for, look for when they're looking to do this kind of experience with elephant camps?
So it's quite difficult, to be honest. So what I've done in with my job, I developed an assessment for elephant camps. I developed criteria, a set of criteria which I would use to go into elephant camps to assess them in terms of sustainability.
Okay.
Which would question the animal welfare, obviously, human rights, but also the environmental impacts and social impacts. For me, that would mean I would go into the elephant camp, I would do the elephant ride or do the elephant experience, look at the elephants, but also meet with the vet and the camp manager, talk to Mahout, see the back office, look around the whole facilities. So I think it's a bit difficult for a tourist, I think, to really figure out what's going on. Even for me, it was very difficult because I'm never going to see where the elephants actually, for example, during the night. I don't know where they go. I don't know how exactly they train the elephants. Yeah, they can tell me, okay, we're using positive reinforcement techniques, but are they actually using them or in what degree? So it's quite difficult. I think what is important is when someone makes the decision to go to an elephant camp, no matter if it's just for a day or half day or a whole week, I think questions before, I think just to question a few things maybe before, and you could already see, okay, is the camp actually willing to answer me these questions? Mm-hmm. So for example, you could ask, what are the working hours for the elephants? Mm-hmm. What is the program? So if you do have a ride, what kind of ride is it? If you use the saddle, for example, how many rides per day does the elephant do? How long is one ride? Where does the ride go? Is it on the street or is it in the forest? You could ask how much time elephants have to socialize in their free time or how much free time they actually have. You could ask what the camp does with the elephant poo, for example. So there's a lot of poo, so the environmental impact is quite big. Yeah, a few things.
Is it better to do an elephant ride in a saddle or in like in the elephant? Because I know basically it's in the saddle. No, not many camps, well, not many places offer like a elephant ride.
Bareback riding. It's changing now. A lot of camps, they do the bareback riding where you don't have any saddle. You sit right on the neck of the elephant. It's a complicated topic because the idea of the elephant ride with a saddle is everyone is against it now. It's not necessarily bad if it's managed in a good way. So that means if the elephant does 2, 3, 4 rides per day and they're like half an hour in the forest, in the shade, on soil, it's not bad. If there's a lot of padding between the actual saddle and the elephant's skin, why not? If the elephant is doing ride after ride after ride on tarmac in the hot sun through the community where you have cars and scooters and dogs and all of that, maybe not. It really depends on the elephant ride. Then with the bareback, riding the elephant bareback, so basically you can imagine you're going for a hike and just comparing the weight. You're going for a hike and you're carrying a 1 liter bottle of water, which I think is fine. You can do that on your back. So that's pretty much what you would be for the elephant when you do the ride.
So we're just a 1 liter bottle of water.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, like the elephant weighs 2.5 tons and then you can calculate it. So I think it's not too bad. Again, if the elephant has to do that round and round and round on hot asphalt or the road, that's not what you want. So the elephants, they have very sensitive feet, for example. So it's very important that they walk on soil and have access to water and food. At the same time, actually, there's a problem because nowadays, because a lot of people are asking, like, we don't want to do any kind of ride. We want to only walk with the elephants, or we want to bathe them and feed them. So quite often in a lot of camps now, you have the situation that there is no ride. So that what you do is like you maybe walk with the elephants 250 meters, then you bathe them, then you walk them back the 250 meters, then you feed them. That's the program offered. But there's a problem because they eat, as said, 250 kilograms per day, so they need to walk a lot. If they don't walk a lot, they get obese. So in a lot of camps now, they have the problem of obesity with elephants, which is very unhealthy. And elephants have a very sensitive digestive system. So if there's any problem with their digestion, they can die within hours. So it's really, really a critical topic. So they need to walk a lot. They need to eat a lot. And so it's not necessarily much better if they don't walk around, but if you just wash them and feed them. So it's very complex. It's very, very complex. And it's difficult to find one exact right answer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess if any of you guys listening wants to do one of these elephant experiences, because I was very into the topic actually, and I went to a couple of elephant camps when I was in Thailand, and they were all different, and we experienced all different things. And then again, as a good anthropologist, I saw all of it. You know, I did the saddle, I did the bareback. And the other one, the bathing and eating and walking, and because I wanted to see all sides to it, because I wanted to be very critical. But I guess if you're interested in doing an elephant experience, I guess just ask the right questions and then maybe do a bit of research of what are people saying about this camp, or you know, there's a lot of forums now. There's a lot of blogs now. You can listen to this podcast. There's a lot of information out there. You can contact Nia. I'm pretty sure she would be happy to tell you a little
bit
of guidelines.
Always happy to help.
But another thing that when I was doing my research, I bumped into, because you know, you, especially when you're overseas, you want to see like all these wild animals that you're like, wow, they're so different to the ones I see back home. We experienced that in Yala, no? In the national park.
Yes, it was amazing.
It was such
really
an amazing,
cool.
Yeah, it was a very good experience. But for example, talking about Thailand, the whole tiger camp issue.
Yes.
What are your thoughts
thing.
On that? That was a bit crazy too. Just like I was, shocked.
Yeah, I don't know. It's how it came up. Actually, you had a few tiger temple. Is a very big one. Now it's closed, but probably gonna open up again soon.
Oh, really?
You have the Tiger Kingdom, all these places with the tigers. I personally have never been, just because it's against my personal beliefs. I know a lot of people who've been, and I've done a lot of research because, again, it was part of my job to justify why we do not sell these tours, and anything to do with tigers for us was completely banned, or is for us completely banned. In general, I can say that also goes for elephants, actually, for any kind of animals. It doesn't matter if it's snakes, monkeys, bears, tigers, cats, dogs, whatever. If an animal is forced to perform in an unnatural way, it is not good. This is the rule we go by with. So if a monkey has to ride a tricycle, just if you see that, and you can just ask yourself, like, okay, a monkey in the jungle, would he actually ride a tricycle? Or if an elephant has to play football, you can ask yourself,
or paint
or stand up on his two feet, or sit down. You can ask yourself, okay, would an elephant actually do that in the wild? All these questions. So just be a bit reasonable, and it's pretty easy to answer, I think. You will pretty quickly see, okay, this is natural behavior or this is unnatural behavior. And for me, as a rule of thumb, is if it's unnatural, don't do it. Don't encourage it, don't pay for it, don't visit it. So again, with the going back to the tigers, there's a few facilities in Thailand where you have an area where tourists can visit tigers, any sort of tigers, female tigers, male tigers, and tiger cubs. Generally, you are supervised by the guides, and then you can take pictures with the tiger, so you can sit down next to them or behind them, and you take a picture. The problem is that a lot of these tigers cannot be documented for, so we don't know where they're coming from. There's been the Tiger Temple, which I said before, closed down recently. It was run by a temple and by monks, and when they did, there was a lot of issues around the tiger temple. There were many questions they couldn't answer. Where do the tigers come from? Where do they go when they're dead? All of these things. And then there were tigers reappearing with the same name, and then people started questioning. And then they did a bit of research, and they went into the tiger temple and did search the property, and they found dozens of dead baby tigers in the freezer, for example. They were like
other animals, no?
It was other animals as well.
Yeah.
And then they had documents. A tiger just disappeared in the middle of the night, going somewhere. Nobody knew where to. You had different products made out of tiger, so it's a big, big market for
black market.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For you have the tiger teeth or tiger bone. You drink them as wine, or have them into your food, or grind them up and swallow it.
Wow.
Or testicles, tiger testicles, for your manhood.
Oh, wow.
It's especially in China, it's a big, big market. So there's lots of controversy about it. And yeah.
Guys, it's, you don't need that.
Just again, I mean, if you just Google it or go on YouTube and you see the videos, how it's actually set up. And again, ask yourself the question, is that natural behavior? Would a tiger just lie there and let humans pet him and sit next to him? I don't think so. Tigers are generally very scared of humans and are very shy and are just hiding in the bushes.
Yeah.
So it's, and again, it's like the enclosures.
Or attacking you.
Come or attacking on, you. Know? You. So there's like rumors that they've been completely drugged and yeah, just be a bit reasonable and think about it. And do you have opportunities to see them in the wild? Not in Thailand, but for example in India, you have national parks where you can actually see the tigers in the wild. And again, you can see, even in Thailand, you can see elephants in the wild if you go on international parks. And if you're lucky, you see them. If you're not that lucky, you don't see them. So, for example, we really wanted to see a leopard and here in Yala, and we know there was one, but he was a bit shy. He didn't want us to see him.
He was there, but evasive, yes. Which is normal.
So we didn't see him, but we knew he was there, and
we felt his
presence. That was a beautiful part of the whole experience, I think, because these were wild animals, yeah. And we didn't have any control over them.
No,
the guides
didn't
control them.
And they respected the park. There was no screaming, no running, no
feeding. This is also something I really don't like, if guides start feeding the wild animals so that you have a better chance to seeing them.
Yeah.
It's okay. Against their natural instincts.
Of course. Well, we're going to wrap this up. But thank you so much for all the information.
Lots of information. Yes.
I hope everybody listening can have a bit more of an idea of how to pick an elephant camp if they want. An elephant camp, basically, because tiger camps, not recommended. But elephant camp and what kind of experience they can get from it. So guys, just ask the basic question, you know, like, would that be natural for the elephant? If not, maybe not do it, and then just research a little bit more, see if it, you know, if what ask, what do you want to get from
ask
the
experience? Camps, ask the mahout, speak to the people. I think it's also good, but just to create awareness, you know, just to, so people or the camp owners know, the mahouts know, okay, people are actually concerned about the animal welfare or about human rights as well,
yeah.
Or the environmental impacts. I think it's better than to blame camps and to point fingers of how they're doing things wrong. Or I think it's better to encourage them to overthink maybe their management strategies and to encourage them to do things better than to just boycott them.
Yeah, exactly. Especially because we're talking about, on the long term, animal welfare, because the elephants are need the money to get the food and need the camps to work. And also, the workers and the social, the communities.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for
having
us.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in. I hope you liked this episode and that it was enlightening for all of those interested in elephant riding. Thanks again to Nia for sharing with us her experience and knowledge, and to all of the people who made this possible. If you're interested in collaborating with us, make sure you follow us on Instagram at thatwonderchick and check out our collaborators' work on our website at www.impetuhub.com, and just write us an email or send us a direct message on Instagram. We're happy to collaborate with different people from all over the world. That would be amazing. So thank you again. Don't miss out on the next episode. We love to wonder and wonder with you. Thank you so much.